Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, crowded, loaded again today, jam. This is the Herd. On a Tuesday, live in L.A., wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. News could break today, and we will be live. No tape delay, baby. We are live for news that is breaking. Joey Taylor is joining me. Had so much fun yesterday, and we still got we got Kawhi out there. We got Boogie Cousins out there. We got a lot of Danny Greens out there. Still stuff that could happen in the next few hours.
Lots of moves we made. Just keep speaking that into existence. Announce it during our show, please.
All right, so let me start with this, and this is a thing hanging over everybody. Who's Kawhi Leonard going to pick? On the phone last night, dinner with a heavyweight, here's what I can tell you. Nobody leads. Don't believe what you read on the internet. Nobody leads. Clippers have had a great meeting. Lakers are telling certain members of the media they lead. They don't know that. And a lot of people I talk to who I trust say Toronto's going to get him for a year. Last night, I'm texting him on the phone. I'm with executives. I'm with scouts. I go to dinner. I'm not hearing what everybody's reporting on the www.bandwidth.com. Okay, let me start with that. But if the Lakers do sign Kawhi Leonard, oh, you can just see it coming for miles. The NBA sky is falling, crowd. Oh, my God, there's a dynasty. It's not fair. Shut up. When did golf explode in this country? When Tiger Woods, for a decade, seemingly won every major. Highest ratings in NBA history. MJ's Bulls won 6 of 8 titles. The Women's World Cup has a favorite, the United States, that's so dominant, they've allowed one goal and only a handful of good shots against goal. The dynasty of the Patriots is the longest and greatest ever, and NFL ratings are the envy of every league. Come on. You're telling me in the South people aren't geeked up for the SEC football season? We all know Alabama's going to win it. They've been winning it for 8 years. Saturday mornings, people now are turned off to SEC football. You love what you love. I got buddies in Portland, in Utah, in Denver, in Dallas, in Philly, in Boston, in Los Angeles. They're completely energized today. They all think they won free agency. Just like everybody in the South thinks they had the best recruiting class. That's what we do as sports fans. We don't follow these sports just for winning a championship. If our team is good, our team is growing, our team is ascending, and I think half the league is, you don't think people in New Orleans are geeked about the Pelicans? Or people in Memphis aren't geeked about Ja Morant? And the other thing, even if the Lakers do land Kawhi, these dynasties never last as long as we think. Kevin Durant of the Warriors won 2 titles, ended with 2 horrible injuries, and oh, by the way, they were lucky to win the second one because they trailed Houston 3-2 until Chris Paul got hurt. The Heatles needed a Ray Allen miracle shot to win 2 in 4 years. The big three in Boston, 1-1. Shaq and Kobe broke up early. Stop with the sky is falling nonsense. Plus, because everybody's getting scooped up by all these teams, if Kawhi, LeBron, and AD are together, they'll have no bench and one of the league's weakest fifth starters. They'll be one injury away from being a borderline playoff team. They got no bench. None. They're going to have the league's worst, oldest bench. Cheapest, worst, and oldest bench. And a weak fifth starter. They still don't have any great shooters. And by the way, Kawhi's been hurt before. AD has injury issues. And LeBron came off the first and worst injury of his career. One of those veteran players, they've all got a bunch of miles on their legs, gets hurt. They're not winning the championship. So you 70% of this league this morning, minimum, in Utah, in Denver, in Dallas, in Philly, in Boston, in New Orleans, they're energized. I don't think Maverick fans, Jazz fans, Blazer fans, Sixer fans have ever had more hope. I think they're celebrating wildly in Boston today, getting Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. I think they feel great about it. They didn't like Kyrie. They like the new guy. So there's no sky is falling nonsense. Dynasties, villains have always worked in sports. The Patriots are working. Bama's working. Mayweather gets huge pay-per-view numbers. So did Conor McGregor. Tiger Woods drove us to TV sets on Sunday. Kawhi will do the same. All right, so the team that's getting buried, and I think this is all very comical because I think they're going to be a great team, the Golden State Warriors. By the way, did you see yesterday Kayvon Looney signed? They squeezed him in. Dude took a discount. Took a discount. So correct me if I'm wrong, but do you remember the team that swept the Blazers in the Western Conference Finals? It was Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kayvon Looney, Draymond Green, and they're now all back. Klay will just be back in February and March. All right. Okay, so you don't think they're any good. I'll take them this morning with the Kayvon Looney signing. I'll take my chances with the Warriors in April and May and June. Now, D'Angelo Russell got signed, and that's freaking everybody out. Oh, D'Angelo Russell's an attitude. Mark Stein, friend of mine, very respected New York Times NBA guy, doesn't like it at all.
D'Angelo Russell doesn't fit there whatsoever. They just wanted to make sure that they did not see Kevin Durant, arguably the best player in the league when healthy, walk out the door for nothing. They got a 23-year-old all-star, and they will trade him. It's just a matter of when.
He does not like the move. Rick Bucher on my show yesterday, he also does not like the D'Angelo Russell acquisition.
That's the smell of desperation. Oh, my goodness. He does not fit their DNA whatsoever. He's a younger Nick Young. He doesn't play D. He's a me guy. He doesn't play with a high basketball IQ. I'm not feeling this whatsoever. If Draymond Green doesn't end up killing him, Steve Kerr might. One of those guys is going to go, D'Angelo, come on. It's not a good fit.
Okay. Pump the brakes. He's going to be there 3 months. There's no marriage here. There's no photo albums here. They're dating to the trade deadline. Are you telling me D'Angelo Russell, a 23-year-old, great ball handler who can hit threes at the trading deadline, nobody's going to want him? Excuse me. Have you seen the money being doled out to average guys? Nobody's going to want D'Angelo Russell. By the way, can he be in his best behavior for 3 months? Do you realize his bad reputation comes from what? His 2 years with the Lakers. A week ago, who wanted D'Angelo Russell? The Lakers! Even they wanted him back. Everybody's looking for 23-year-old guys who can put it on the deck, create opportunities, and hit a three. His bad reputation comes from Los Angeles. They desperately wanted him last week if they couldn't get meetings with Kawhi. Folks, Boogie Cousins had the worst rep in the league. The dynasty said, you want to play for us? Here's what I know about the NBA. It's a guard wing league. And if you're in your prime and can shoot threes, people will talk themselves into your talent. And the other thing is, he's only got to be in his best behavior for 3 months. Even people you break up with the first couple of months always feel great, right? You're kind of attracted. It's like, oh, my God, you overlook their flaws. You're kind of cute. She's really attractive. And you kind of know it's not perfect. And then about third, fourth month, you're like, I got to get out of this relationship. That's all this is. Steve Kerr makes everybody better offensively. Steph Curry's the easiest star to play with. Everybody wants to make this work, including D'Angelo Russell. And ask yourself at the trading deadline, will there be a good NBA team at the trading deadline? That's good, but if they had a scoring guard, they talked themselves into being great. I'll give you one, Philadelphia. They got Al Horford, and they got Embiid, and they got Ben Simmons, and they got Tobias Harris, and they got all these big guys, and they drafted another big guy. You know what they don't have? A dynamic guard that scores. Would they be willing, maybe at the trading deadline, to send a big out west to get D'Angelo Russell? Who, by the way, over in Brooklyn, they watched him have all sorts of success. People talk themselves into talent in this league. The Warriors said, basically, we lost Kevin Durant. Let's just go get an all-star, because all-stars in our system, the Patriots and the Warriors, are great at this. They bring in guys with a little rub. Draymond Green would never be Draymond Green outside of the Warriors. Randy Moss worked for 2.5 years in New England. They just make it work. You're dating for 3 months. Everybody's on their best behavior. Boom, trading deadline. Some team in the NBA is going to be like, you know, if we just had a guard that could shoot threes. And they're going to make a move on him. It is much easier in this league in 2019-2020. People still want Andre Iguodala and Kyle Korver. And these guys are close to crutches because they can hit threes. D'Angelo's in his prime, can ball handle and hit threes. All good. Everybody's bailing on the Warriors. Trust Smart. Smart always overtime wins. I still think the Warriors are a top 4 or 5 team in the NBA. They're just going to have to wait for Klay to get healthy. The closer he gets to being healthy in February, March, and they watch and they see him every day at the facility. Okay, he's about 2 weeks out, 2.5. Boom, you move D'Angelo Russell.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It's a real living organism. It's called Who Gets the Credit? And it happens a lot with males. I don't know if this is part of the women's ecosystem, but I can tell you for men with egos, alpha males, everybody always wants to get credit. And credit blows up. Boy, it's a lot of it in sports because you get the alpha male and then you get their rich. The coach is rich. The GM is rich. The owner is really rich. And the players are now rich. And guys got to get credit. Seattle Seahawks dynasty. It was going to last forever. Oh, Pete Carroll wanted to get credit. And Richard Sherman and the defense wanted to get credit. And Russell Wilson didn't say anything, but he wanted to get a little credit. And it blew up. And then the 49ers with Jim Harbaugh went to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick, and everybody wanted to get credit. And Trent Baalke, the general manager, wanted to get credit. And Ned York said, what about me? I want to get credit. And Jim Harbaugh said, I'm tired of not getting credit. And Colin Kaepernick's like, I'm pretty good too. And it blew those two teams up. The 49ers and the Seahawks were humming. They were good. They were young. They had the coach. They had the – and they got blown up because of credit. Magic Johnson reportedly had a positive phone call yesterday with Kawhi Leonard. Oh, that's funny. Who leaked that story? It ain't Kawhi. He barely talks. That's Magic Johnson. Because Magic wants to get credit. Why? Because Magic Johnson has a massive brand. And when he quit, it was a really bad look. Remember that press conference when he quit and he didn't tell anybody and he started ad-libbing? Everybody's like, is Magic crazy? Is Magic nuts? He didn't tell his bosses. Remember how bad that press conference was?
Have you really not told me?
No, I haven't.
Did you tell Rob Pelinka?
Nope.
Have you had any communication with LeBron about this?
Nope.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Magic quit, didn't tell anybody. And then the Lakers were able to land Anthony Davis without him. Ooh, it's time for Magic's brand to get a little resurrection so it moves back, and he's on the phone with Kawhi. He's going to save the Lakers because Rob Pelinka badmouthed him. You don't badmouth Magic in Los Angeles. So Magic is going to make sure this gets out so he can say, I got you LeBron and I got you Kawhi Leonard. I'm not knocking Magic for this. I'm just telling you how it is. He's got a big brand. I said when it happened, Magic has a right. He has worked very hard to craft this brand. He has a right to protect his brand. Facebook right now trying to protect their brand from the government. We got companies all over the place trying to protect their brand. Why can't an individual? Magic Johnson has a right to protect his brand. It's the strongest sports brand in Los Angeles. I mean, it's the strongest individual sports brand. Now, the Dodgers or USC, but I'm talking as an individual. Magic's got the strongest brand in the city, and he's protecting it. So he's leaking these stories to let you know, I got you LeBron, and I'm going to get you Kawhi. And by the way, this credit thing, why did the Dallas Cowboys break up? Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. It was a dynasty because Jerry Jones wanted more credit. Why did Tiger Woods and his swing coach and his caddy break up? Because the caddies and the swing coaches wanted more credit. Yankees, Torrey, Cashman, Randy Levine, Steinbrenner, I got to get more credit. For the record, if you don't live in Los Angeles, this may not be something you're aware of, but Pat Riley, Jerry West, and Phil Jackson are not buds. Why? Because they all thought the other guy was getting too much credit. That's why they broke up. There was always a fight for that. Now, I'm not in the credit business. That's Visa. Okay? But these sports teams and the GM and the coach and the star player and the owner. So this all this thing with Magic and this story with Kawhi and the phone call, the only reason that leaked, because Magic's like, time out. My brand took a little ding here. The quitting, you landing AD without me, I look crazy and kooky. Magic gets right back in there. I'm going to save the dynasty. I'm actually defending him here. If I had the biggest personal sports brand in a city the size of Los Angeles, and it took a ding for about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 weeks, I'd probably try to protect it too.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We're still waiting for Kawhi Leonard. And then Boogie Cousins is the second best player available, maybe Danny Green third, but most of it is kind of sorted out. So I thought we would play a game on where are teams trending. How should you feel about your team today headed to next year? The game is called Up, Down, and Even.
Now that the dust is settling in NBA free agency, Colin is going to tell us which teams are trending up, down, or just staying even. It's a segment called Up, Down, or Even. Yeah. Wow, Cowherd. How long did it take you to come up with that?
About 45 seconds this morning at the meeting. Up, down, and even. You give me the team, Goulet.
The Jazz.
Big up. I actually thought they did better than any single team. Listen, I watch a lot of Jazz games because I go to Utah a lot and ski, and I turn their games on. They needed a point guard who could score. They added Mike Conley. They needed outside shooting. They got Bojan Bogdanovic. And they lost Derek Favors, but they got Ed Davis, you know, much cheaper, who's a great rebounder and a tremendous locker room guy. I don't know if they're good enough to win a championship, but you give me a team now with Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Bogdanovic, Ed Davis, and Rudy Gobert. That is six legitimate NBA players. I also think Quinn Snyder is a tremendous coach. They did really well. I don't think any team upgraded more than Utah. That feels like a 55-win team. And by the way, Conley, Bogdanovic, and Ed Davis are great culture guys. You want them in your locker room. They're spectacularly cool guys.
The Milwaukee Bucks, up, down, or even?
I would go slight down, although I still think they're a top six team in the NBA. Listen, they lost Malcolm Brogdon. And they replaced him with Wesley Matthews. Brogdon's better than Matthews. Matthews had a torn Achilles. He's never been the same player. They also lost Mirotić over to Europe, a big who could shoot. So listen, this team's about Giannis and Chris Middleton. But they had a lot of little ancillary parts that were very important. And Mirotić and Malcolm Brogdon were both important parts. And they're both shooters and they're both gone. And in 2019 in the NBA, I don't think that's a great thing. So a slight downgrade.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
I think Anthony Davis makes them better. And I thought they did a good job to keep Kyle Kuzma, of all their young players, the best leader, the best defender, the most mature, and he's never hurt. LeBron, AD, Kyle Kuzma, they're going to probably add a J.R. Smith and Andre Iguodala. I'm not even counting Kawhi Leonard yet. There's no question they have two of the top six players in the NBA. Lakers are a trend up, potentially a spectacular trend up in the next 48 hours.
How about the always disappointing Dallas Mavericks?
I thought they trended up. I've never understood why this team isn't more attractive. No state tax, middle of the country, decent winter weather, a very well-heeled owner who supports the players, nice arena, nice fans, great sports city. They added Seth Curry. Seth Curry's a real player. Lakers wanted Seth Curry. He's not Steph, but he can shoot. And Kristaps Porzingis, when he is healthy, is a spectacular 7'4" slasher. And Luka Doncic may have been the surprise in the NBA last year. So I think things are really, really looking up for Dallas. It makes me happy. I think, you know, to show you how deep the West is, I'm not sure they're a playoff team. But my gut feeling, if Porzingis is healthy for the season, it's going to be hard to keep them out of the playoffs.
The Golden State Warriors.
Well, they lie down. I don't think there's any question. You can't lose KD and your best bench player, Andre Iguodala. I think they did a very good job of a life preserver with D'Angelo Russell, who will get them to the trading deadline until Clay returns. I also think they did a very good job to get a discount deal on Kayvon Looney. So you're going to have by April, by the playoffs, Looney, Draymond, Clay, Steph, and arguably one of the top two coaches, three coaches in the NBA. They also have one of the best GMs who's a deal maker. So I think the Warriors are not nearly as big a dip down. By the way, the team they'll bring to the court next year by the end of the year is the same team, minus Andre Iguodala, that swept Portland. So I don't believe it's the end of the earth.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
I've never seen a team do that much in that short a time. David Griffin is, I said this yesterday, he's a politician who gets elected into the office, and 3 weeks in, he's passed like six bills. Zion, Drew Holiday, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Derek Favors, and I just think they did a great job. And they also drafted, my scout said Jackson Hayes was the sleeper in the draft, and they got him too. I just think they've done a tremendous job. It literally 3 months ago, I'm like, they're owned by an NFL owner, nobody cares. Now, I live across the country, and I care. Plus, they added J.J. Redick. I don't know if they're a playoff team in the West, because they're still really young, but they're a fascinating club.
Speaking of Redick, his former team, the Philadelphia 76ers.
I will go even. Okay, they lost shooters. Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick are good shooters. Last couple of years, they've given up a lot of shooters. Dario Saric, they gave up. They've given up way too many shooters. But maturity matters in this league. Chemistry matters. Jimmy Butler, not the most mature player. Al Horford, maybe the league's most mature player. They'll be one of the best defensive teams. I think they did their locker room a favor. I think at the trading deadline, they're one of those teams. I wouldn't be shocked if they had a little cash. They'd go after Danny Green. They need shooters, and I think they'll know that by the trading deadline. But I'll say even. They got bigger and better defensively and more mature, but they lost some outside threes.
The Houston Rockets.
I'm going to go down. I don't like the vibe I get. It's not that they didn't, they kept Gerald Green, they kept Austin Rivers, but I got an owner who's not in love with the coach. I got a GM feeling pressure from the owner on the coach. The coach has a brand new staff because the owner wanted him out. I've got Chris Paul's knee, which is not getting better with age, and I've seen sort of a pattern here. Ball-centric James Harden looks exhausted by May. So it's a slight downgrade. I still think they're a player in the West, but there's younger teams, more dynamic teams like Utah that I think could unseat them.
The Brooklyn Nets up, down, or even?
They're up. DeAndre Jordan does feel like just an older version of Jared Allen. That I don't really get. I guess he's a buddy of Kyrie and KD. Kyrie's absolutely better than D'Angelo Russell. They're a better version. They're way more interesting than they were last year. Way more interesting. And I do think Kyrie generally, when he comes to a team, is on his best behavior. He was fine in Boston for a couple hours. So I think for a year, they'll be more interesting. But I don't agree with Vegas. I mean, they're way more of a favorite than I would make them.
How about the Boston Celtics?
Downgrade. Enes Kanter and Kemba Walker are a nice kick save, but you lost Kyrie, you lost Al Horford, and you lost Terry Rozier. That's a lot of buckets. That's a lot of buckets. Those are a lot of guys that can make shots. And so I think they did a terrific job to save what could have been an utter disaster. Enes Kanter actually ends up being a really nice get, but they're not a championship team. They are not a championship team. They don't have the size. And I don't think they have, I will say this. Jason Tatum's interesting because I love Jason Tatum. I thought last year he plateaued. I think he will work better with Kemba and we'll see a better Jason Tatum. So the downgrade is not horrific.
And finally, the Portland Trailblazers.
I would say they're actually an even. Now, Hassan Whiteside is better than Myers Leonard, no question. Little immaturity issue last year of a contract. Hopefully he behaves. But they did lose Seth Curry. Now, 10 years ago, losing Seth Curry wouldn't have mattered. In the three-ball era, Seth Curry's a real guy. They also lost Aminu, who everybody told me as I watched him this year how great he was. So they lost a couple of guys, a couple of good locker room guys, and they gained a little bit of a head case in Hassan Whiteside. Now, Damian Lillard runs the locker room, so it'll be fine. Their culture can withstand that. I don't think they're significantly better, But I still think they have a great GM, a great coach, and a great star. So I love their culture. I think people in Portland think, oh, Whiteside's the answer. There's a reason Pat Riley parted with him. He's a little difficult. Hopefully he's on his best behavior. But I Seth Curry is one of those guys that nobody talks about. But when I watch Portland, what did I say all year in the playoffs? They got a bunch of dudes that can get buckets. And Curry was one of those guys that could get buckets. And Aminu could get a bucket. And they're both gone. So there you go. Up, down, and even. Tremendous production values here at the Herd. It was some of the best work we've ever done. We're very clever here. We spend hours on this stuff. Jason Whitlock said something yesterday. Now, he doesn't love LeBron James getting Kawhi Leonard. Here's what Whitlock said yesterday. He thinks it's bad news for LeBron James and his legacy. Remember, there's a lot of questions about LeBron. Here it is.
I just don't know if this will be a good look for LeBron James. If he adds Kawhi to himself and Anthony Davis, I think that cheapens his legacy to some degree. I know some people will celebrate what a great recruiter and he restored the Lakers, but I'm not sure if this is the best thing for LeBron's legacy, landing Kawhi Leonard.
I disagree on that. First of all, Michael Jordan couldn't win with a second team. LeBron would win a title with a third. I think we'd forget about that. The other thing is, what is Magic Johnson's sort of legacy? Greatest Laker, greatest teammate. And Michael Jordan, greatest player, killer. And Shaq, dominating physically and all sorts of laughs and fun, big personality. You can't, those are impenetrable legacies. A video could come out, Shaq being a jerk tomorrow. He's still Shaq. We give him a pass. Michael Jordan quit twice, punched the teammate, petty Hall of Fame speech. Still the GOAT. We still love him. We still buy his shoes. LeBron's legacy is impenetrable. And his brand is mobility. What does he do with his TV shows and movies? Bring stars to sit in a room together. What does he do with basketball? He brings stars to Miami and Cleveland and Los Angeles together. This is his brand. His brand is not an ISO act. It's not Jimmy Butler. I want to be the man. That's not his brand. LeBron's versatility and mobility. And so I actually think this plays right into his brand. And I also think when you're as big, I mean, think about Tiger Woods, how popular he was, and now how unpopular he was. And then we all sat on the couch and cried as he won the Masters. We generally look back at greatness with great fondness, and we just forget what a pain in the butt you were. Brett Favre walks into any room in America. Everybody loves Brett Favre. But, man, he threw a lot of bad picks in big games, a lot of them. And you screamed at him, and you yelled at him, but now you see him do those Ford commercials and those Jean commercials. You just love you some Brett Favre. That's just the way it is. And I think LeBron's legacy is cemented and impenetrable, and I really think this plays to his brand. Let's get a bunch of stars to be in my movie, to be on my TV show, to be on my team. This plays right into that, not out of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rick Bucher joining us, senior writer, Bleacher Report, covered this league since the early 90s. Okay, wait, by the way, Warriors retiring Kevin Durant's number. What do you make of that?
Don't sue us. Don't sue us.
Right, right.
At the very least, it is trying to wrestle the narrative because I've never seen a team in all the time that I've covered the league. And if I go back and even prior to that, when I think historically, I've never seen a championship team that was looked at as the model of the entire league fall as precipitously as this one has. The amount of bad publicity that they have received over the last 3-4 weeks in how they've handled KD's injury, in KD leaving, in Andre Iguodala throwing their medical staff under the bus, all of it is... I've never seen it this dramatic.
Steve Kerr is run to the internet, love players on Twitter. You think they'd protect him?
Yeah, and you would hope that they wouldn't. Everything just seems like a massive overreaction. This KD thing being the exact thing. Why do you have to announce now that you're going to retire his number after, 3 years? He just went out the door. He just left you. This seems so dramatically like, No. Everything's okay. Our relationship with KD is okay. Andre Iguodala has done more for this franchise, you could argue, than KD has. There's no whisper of retiring his number. Let's just go ahead and retire Steph, Clay, and Draymond's numbers too. I mean, it seems like a massive overreaction to try to create a sense of all is good when clearly all is not.
Yeah, you don't like the D'Angelo Russell move.
I do not. Look, it's not – people are taking this like I don't like D'Angelo Russell. I actually love the fact that he's restored his image and showed that he can play somewhat. I'm not discounting that. And I think he could be serviceable in a lot of places. He had a good year last year. He just doesn't fit the Warriors whatsoever. Now as a ball-dominant guy who doesn't play the way they play with a read-and-react offense, and they desperately need defense. He's shown mild interest in that end of the floor. It doesn't fit for what they are. If it's pure asset and they're convinced they have suitors out there, okay, maybe. But as far as him making them significantly better right now, I think they got a lot of things to work out.
Listen, when you have all these stars, try to find that video of Bob Myers when he stuck his foot in his mouth about 2 years ago. Try to find that, and I'll bring it up in a second. Listen, everybody wants stars. Mm. The downside to having stars in the NBA, specifically more than any sport, it's the only sport in America that is star-driven. There's stars in football, baseball, but it's really star-driven. You got to take care of them. They're gassed up. Sure. AAU, 1 year of college, they fire coaches, not players. So one criticism I heard of Steve Kerr about 6 months ago from somebody who's in the NBA, he said, Kerr is become like Mr. Pro Player to a fault, watches Twitter. They're like, we don't doubt Steve Kerr is pro player. He was a player. He's a good dude. But somebody questioned, now I'm not saying I believe this, but they questioned Kerr's authenticity, very pro player. The downside to having stars is you got to be careful what you say always. This little piece of tape would not be a big deal for the average NBA team, but it's uncomfortable for me to watch. Roll this tape.
And then I heard you tell Kevin Durant he can have whatever contract he wants next year.
Yeah, that was just for the media. He can't have anything like that at all.
Mid-level.
Yeah, mid-level, behind closed doors.
Because I think last year he told Steph he could have any contract he wants, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, that was different. He's been here from the run, the way before days. He's earned it.
and there ended the Warriors' cohesion right there.
And by the way, again, on almost every team in the league, it would just be a joke, and you'd move on to the floats and the parade. But I watch that, and I'm like, that's not great.
No, if you're watching Kevin Durant's facial expression,
I didn't like it.
No, that was, without question, that was awkward. And it's one thing to have an awkward moment when you're having conversation within the team.
But or public?
On a stage?
I mean, and I love Bob Myers.
situation?
So again, this feels like to me, when you have these superstars, these are Hall of Fame guys, just like retiring Kevin Durant's jersey, it is a constant PR play.
For sure. Well, and what happens is you can start to get glib, and you can get a little too comfortable, and now you can start making jokes that don't land. And when they don't land in public with someone that you're not rock solid with, and with Kevin, that was always the case. He was always an interloper. And that never quite changed. So then to joke with a guy on that level,
It's rough publicly.
It's a mistake.
It would be uncomfortable at a dinner with you and him publicly.
Yes. It's
that
10
joke,
times worse.
That joke, having dinner with him, he'd be like, dude, not cool.
Right,
line crossed.
Right. Or you can text him afterward and go, hey, look, that probably was, sorry about that. That was probably out of line or whatever. This you can't take back.
No. By the way, I trust my source. I'm told Toronto's meeting Kawhi today.
That, I suppose everything was expedited because originally he was willing to meet with New York, and they were given the 3rd as a date, and they thought that's way too late in the process. So now that he's got L.A., if he's got everything in L.A. out of the way.
I'm told he does.
I would think that meeting today and then being able to wrap this up before the 4th of July is the timeline now.
Now, everybody is telling me Lakers have seized control of this. That's now maybe, you know, I'm not foot on the ground locker room guy like you. I'm told Toronto still has a very viable shot.
I have been told the same thing. This is what's interesting, and I'm sure you've been through this. I'm sure the viewers have been through this. When you are going to on job interviews and you interview in a place and you walk out of it, everybody feels good.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Hey, thanks for the time. We'll get back to you, whatever. And you can walk out of it thinking, hey, you know what? We got a shot. And everybody's feeling good. And Then you go to the next one, you go, ooh, oh, I didn't consider that. This looks better than this. And it's not necessarily that you lied to the previous place. It's just you were presented with something new and different, or you had something to measure by. Until he sits down with everybody, I genuinely believe Kawhi Leonard has not made a decision yet, and it's really hard. And look, we do this, who's in first, who is in second, and there may be some real legitimacy to that in who's in the position, but that those positions are still flexible and movable. And I think that's the case here. I still, from everything that I've heard, I have to believe that Toronto has the opportunity to make a convincing case and still keep him.
Remember, Pac-12 schools overlook Kawhi. He didn't have a choice. He was traded out of San Antonio. Hmm. I can make the argument this is the first time the big boys have shown him love.
Yeah.
Could this just be, and I wouldn't blame him, whoever shows me the most love wins.
This is the difficulty here is that we don't know what the primary motivation for Kawhi Leonard is. Now, we're all assuming that it's, well, he wants to win. Well, if he wants to win, he's staying in Toronto. Does he want to go home? Well, then it's to L.A., and it's one of those two teams. Does he want to play with another superstar caliber player? Well, then it's going home, and it's going to the Lakers. So it just depends on which one is his priority, and then how does everything else stack up? And that's what has made predicting what Kawhi Leonard is going to do the most difficult thing, because I've heard people say Kawhi's the kind of guy who says, oh, you want to play with me? Cool. You don't want to play with me? Cool. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And which would lead me to believe he's good with going to the Clippers or the Raptors. On the other hand, I've also been told after winning a championship and being the lead dog and carrying that weight, he's like, you know what? I wouldn't mind having somebody else who knows how to carry that weight on the championship level, right? In that case, there's really only one play. I mean, I guess you could make the argument that Kyle Lowry and those guys carried the weight with him, but true superstar, I can lean on somebody else. That means he's going to the Lakers.
You know, what's interesting is Joy had a story earlier today where LeBron did not sell Kyrie on the Lakers, that he knew he was interested. It was not a big sales pitch.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Rich Paul's been telling me all year. I've been saying, Rich, give me a break on this. All year, Rich, and that's LeBron's guy, and Rich is, and we get along really well. But I have been on him all year. I'm like, stop telling me LeBron doesn't have any sales pitch. And he has said all year, he has guaranteed me. He goes, LeBron's not doing that.
Yeah.
He is not. And then I see Joy's story earlier, and I'm like, you're not? Is it possible that LeBron now moving to L.A., a lot of business, got a lot of heat for controlling the Cavs and making deals and liking Shabazz Napier in Miami? Is it possible that LeBron is really disengaged on even the Kawhi stuff?
LeBron has not recruited as much as people have made it out to
okay.
be. Historically has not done it. Now, and this is what makes it difficult working with LeBron at times, because he has sort of a passive-aggressive approach.
He does.
You have to guess at what he really wants. And if you don't deliver that, then you might be in trouble, and you might be at cross purposes with him. But he's not going to tell you directly, and some of that, people have suggested, is because now he's on the hook for this is what you asked for. I mean, David Griffin went through it with Cleveland, where he was like, I got this idea. And LeBron was like, oh, you can't do that. And David Griffin goes and do it. It wasn't like, hey, can you do that? Or, hey, this is what I want. It was, oh, you can't do that. Well, ultimately, it's still a matter of it has to work out. What David Griffin's doing has to work out. And if it doesn't, LeBron can say, well, I never signed off on that. I never asked for that. So it removes him from being directly responsible for whatever transpires, unless it goes south, and then he's going to let you know, I'm not happy with this.
Yeah.
It is a tough spot to placate LeBron without knowing exactly what it is that he wants.
Well, what it does is what you said. It creates confusion. I've also said for years, Aaron Rodgers is a little passive-aggressive, and what does it create? Confusion.
Sure.
Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley, Mike McCarthy. Kobe Bryant never had passive-aggressive. He didn't like Smush Parker. He did like Derek Fisher. Michael Jordan punched a teammate. When you're passive-aggressive, it creates confusion.
Sure.
LeBron's created it. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay has created some of this. Is Aaron on my side? Does Aaron like me? Is Aaron mad at me? It's a reality of that sort of personality trait.
Well, yes. And what it does, the troubling part is then there's no accountability. Like, I want a guy who says, this is what I want, and I go get it. And then if it doesn't work, they're willing to accept, okay, you gave me what I wanted, and it didn't work. That's on me. If you can get people to do things and try things to try to please you, and then you can kind of sit back and say, well, I like that or I didn't like that, based on how it turns out, not what you initially wanted, well, then you're in the driver's seat. You're never culpable for when things go south.
Rick Bucher, how long you're in town all week?
I am here all week.
Well, there's a lot going on in this big city.
There is.
A lot going on here.
Good fish in the city.
Good fish. Good. We've been talking fish all the Joy, I'm working with a couple of weirdos, she says.